Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven door started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and we would love to hear your real ghost story on this program. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, you can also write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or the other option now to send us your ghost stories, record it as a little audio file on your mobile device and email it over to us, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. That's a good way to get your audio to us if you are in an area of the world where the phone number ain't so toll-free. In the U.S., I think Canada, I think it's toll-free. I think some other places are finding it is too. I know in the U.S. it is for sure, but other than that, I don't know. But there you go.
There you go.
Lots of ways to get your stories to us. Tony Bruschi and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again here at Real Ghost Stories Online. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am now loaded with more artificial flavors and colors than ever before.
What did you have?
I don't know. I just thought I'd say that. It'd be kind of funny.
Oh, okay.
Because every single commercial I hear on radio or TV for virtually any food, it's like, now with less artificial colors and flavors than ever. And even like some products where it's, I'm like, okay, well, that's nice, I guess. Some of the products I hear from, I'm like, how did you have artificial colors in there to begin with?
Right.
Like, it's like strawberries. It's like, oh, well, what exactly have I been consuming all these years?
Well, they took all of it out of the mac and cheese that we all grew up with as kids.
Uh-huh.
And I've not tried it yet. I can't imagine that it tastes better that way.
They're all, I saw those commercials too, and of course it's a commercial for the product put out by the product. Like, everybody agrees it tastes exactly the same.
Yeah, right.
They're not gonna be like, and now everybody is feeling like this is not quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna go to that other brand with the rabbits. yeah, it's an interesting thing where all this is happening kind of at once. I saw one where like cereal is now removing, I think, what is it, Kellogg's or somebody? It's mm-hmm. like, over the next 42 years, we'll slowly phase out all of our... And it's like a long period of time, I believe, of what they have for when they're going to phase out the artificial colors and flavors. So does that mean, I mean, is there natural colors and flavors that mean that they can add to some of this stuff? Because some of it was pretty artificial tasting to begin with.
I have no idea.
What do you do? At some point, it's like, this product is all about being an artificial color and flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Are you just going to start putting... like a box of like spoiled fruit in there and call it, you know, some sort of, you know, fruity pebbles, and it's just dried fruits? Or what are we doing here?
I doubt it's those that are taking it out. Because, I mean, if you took all the artificial out of fruity pebbles, mm-hmm. you'd have nothing left.
There's some artificial flavors I thoroughly enjoy, like the artificial flavor in sweet tarts, in the lemon one. I always thought they tasted delicious. Then they phased the lemon one out, and I was left without it. I sometimes enjoy artificial flavors. I don't know if that's normal or not, but you know, I sometimes prefer the artificial to the natural. That's I guess bizarre. But there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first story here. It's from James in Scotland.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Janie. Absolutely love the show. I've been listening since it started. I remember listening to, you know, some of the first interviews, the Conjuring interview and the Amityville one. Absolutely fantastic. So thanks a lot, guys. And I think that the fact that you've given everyone an outlet to speak about these stories and stuff like that is absolutely fantastic. Real sense of community. It's awesome. Well, my name's James. I'm from Glasgow in Scotland, back over in the UK. My first story, I've got one story and I've got another wee bit of background about something else, which is pretty cool. First story is about my sister. I'm 32 and my dad died when I was about 15, 16 years old, and I was in my office years ago, must have been 5 or 6 years ago, and my sister was in the she was in the kitchen. She was making a sandwich, and it was about 2:30, and she ran through and burst through my door, and she says to me, come quick right now, hurry up. And she grabbed me and she took me right through to the hall, but there was nothing there. And I was thinking, what the hell are you doing? What's going on here? And you know, she was upset, and so I sat her down and I said to her, what's going on? And she explained to me that she was making a sandwich at the worktop. She looked over to the right hand side and she saw my dad. My dad said, I'm not here for a long time. And Lynn's my sister's name. Lynn said, wait there, I need to get James. So my dad says, no, I'm not here for very long, Lynn. And she says, I need to get James. So as she ran through to get me, she grabbed me, and then that's when obviously she burst in the door. I ran through and there was nothing there, and she was absolutely adamant. She wasn't drinking. It was, as I say, it was 2:30 in the afternoon. She wasn't drinking, no drugs, nothing at all. As I said, she was in the middle of making a sandwich. You know, and I tell that to a lot of a couple of friends and stuff like that, and I say to them, it wasn't the middle of the night, it wasn't, you know, she wasn't sleeping or anything like that. She hadn't come in from a night out. She wasn't in a, you know, her mood wasn't particularly in a fragile state or anything. She was fine. It was an ordinary day, you know. She was getting ready to go to work, and that happens. So it just goes to show you that it can happen at the craziest times. So yeah, really, really strange. The next thing I'd like to talk about, it's not actually a story, but something that's awesome, it's pretty cool. So I got married last year, so it was 2015, and we went on our honeymoon, and we drove all over California, went to Los Angeles and Las Vegas. We did the whole America thing, you know. I'm pretty sure you guys think it's pretty lame, but it's, you know, it's pretty cool to us back here in Scotland. So we went to the Ford Mustang, and we done the whole California thing, finished off in Vegas, and we were in Los Angeles, and yep, we stayed at that ship that everyone seems to keep talking about. We also did the ghost tour that everybody seems to keep talking about, and it was absolutely fantastic. It was awesome. It was such a cool experience, especially when the ship was built in Scotland, in Glasgow, in my hometown. In fact, my granddad actually helped build it. He was a welder on that ship, and that's one of the big reasons I wanted to stay at it as well. Obviously because of that connection, especially if we were going to be doing the ghost tour as well. And I was talking to one of the guides, and I was saying, you know, if you like this kind of thing, you should listen to this podcast I subscribe to. It's awesome. She's like, it's not Real Ghost Stories Online, is it? And I said, yeah, it is Real Ghost Stories Online. It's absolutely fantastic. And, you know, we just started chatting away, and she, you know, we were talking about stories that, like, you know, you guys had, like, brought up. It was absolutely fantastic. It was such a strange sensation for her in Los Angeles and me back here in Glasgow to have that connection, and obviously the connection was you guys. And it was just, it was so cool. And I know, Tony, that you were talking about trying to get in touch with one of the guide tours. So if you fancy it, you can email me back, because I've still got the guide tour's email address. We still kind of keep in touch. But yeah, thank you so much, guys, as I say, for everything that you do. It's absolutely awesome. I listen to your podcast all the time, on the way to work, on the way back. It's just, it's fantastic. So yeah, I'll give you guys another call back if you like, and I'll let you know what happened on the ghost tour on that ship. Well, keep up the good work, and I'll see you all guys later. Cheers.
Thank you for the story, and for the stories, and that note. That's, he thinks it's weird for him to be on from one side of the world and then coming over to this side of the world and connecting. It's even more bizarre to be sitting here on a completely other side of the world and hearing of two different people from two different sides of the world connecting that we've never met and never been to over the show. I mean, it's neat. It's an honor, and it's just it's totally bizarre to think that still playing radio station here in the house and that people actually hear it. I mean, I know you do,
right.
But it's still just, it's a weird thing. But anyhow, that's really cool. I would love to get over there at some time and see that boat. But in the meantime, yes, I think Jenny's going to reach out to you and try and get that contact information for the folks on the ship, because that would be a cool show.
That would be.
I would love to talk to someone that does stuff. And if you are from that boat and you're listening right now, feel free to email one of us, or we'll reach out to somebody there. Be great to have somebody on the show just for a full episode, just talking about that. Because, I mean, there's so many stories. If we went back and, like, picked out every story we had from that ship, it'd probably be a several-hour episode because there's just so many. So thank you, James. On to his first story that he talked about. I think the lesson there is when the ghost says, no, don't go, just, I have a limited amount, they mean it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's interesting that he was conscious of it, though, too. Because a lot of times you hear the story of the ghost who, you know, they're conscious of it, but there's you know, it's pretty much a flat out interaction of, here's my message, gone. It's not so much back and forth.
And I think that says two things. I think one, it tells me he's crossed over and he's just coming back.
Sure.
And two, it probably means that it really is who it's, you know, it really is him. It's not somebody else or something else posing as him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sincerely was him. And I can imagine as a father or as a parent in general, you try to pick the time that's going to be the least frightening to come back and visit your kids.
So sure.
I could see middle of the afternoon, nothing going on, just making a sandwich, just kind of like, hi. You know, not midnight. You're already scared, and it's a thunderstorm, and I'm like, hey, you know.
I would wait for like a lightning-esque thunderstorm day, and then at the strike of 3 a.m., I'd knock something off, so like everybody sits up in bed, and then lightning, and there I am. Da-da-da. Just lit up by the lightning.
Our poor children.
And then I'll say something really, you know.
You're going to be such an asshole, Dad goes.
No, they'll know, and then they'll laugh because our littlest one has always loved the word poopy.
Uh-huh.
Even like when she was like half a year old, if you said the word poop, she just lit up. And she's now, you know, 3 and a half and still finds it just as hilarious.
She will till she's, you know, forever.
So what I'm going to do for her at some point, I'm going to do that, and all of a sudden I'll be like, poopy. And then just disappear. And it's like, oh, Dad's okay. See, that's how that's going to work.
That's great.
There you go. Now that that's established. But I wonder what the sister thinks. If she's upset, if she wonders what would have been said or whatnot, or if there was ever any other chance of communication there.
Well, kudos to her, though, because she was trying to include her brother.
She was. She had the best of intentions.
She did. I mean, how mad would he have been had she been like, I just had this conversation with Dad. He just came back for a minute, but I didn't come get you. Screw you.
I was in the other room, and best of intentions, but sometimes you just have to follow what the ghosts tell you.
Can I just say something?
What?
I would totally pay James to read ghost stories. I would just love to listen to him read ghost stories.
Just Scottish ghost, ghost stories?
That'd be awesome.
Thank you for the story, James. And do feel free to share more with us. We love hearing from you. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to Teresa in California. Hi,
Tony. Tony. Hi, Jen. This is Teresa from Kingsburg, California. I wanted to call and tell a story about a haunted prison that I worked at down in Desert Center, California. It used to be an old mine called the Kaiser Mine that they turned into a prison and housing for the guards and the officers. This mining community had its own school, grocery stores, bowling alley, bank, hundreds of houses built. And when they closed the mine, some of the old mine workers actually got a job working at that prison that took its place. And when I was told that I was accepted for the position out there, it was really strange when I got there because half the houses were falling apart, were just abandoned, and the other half were manicured and lived in. So that kind of immediately gave it an eerie feeling out there. So I started working there, and the bowling alley and the old restaurants and the bank were converted into inmate visiting North Control, which would control the main gate to and from the prison, and also like inmate intake, which would be where new inmates would come in or inmates would go out of. They would put them in this housing. And one night I got called and told I was working overtime. So I was going to babysit basically an inmate that was in this temporary housing because he was being shipped out for being a snitch, I guess you would say. And his safety was in jeopardy. So he was in one small room off to the side of where I was, and I was basically reading magazines and killing time. And if you look down this massive other room where the inmate visiting was, it was all just darkness as far as you could see because it was so late at night we would conserve power out there and turn off unnecessary lighting. So it was probably 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm flipping through magazines that were left there from other guards, and I thought I heard a sound coming from the very far end of this dark, empty hall, this empty building, this empty room, and it sounded like keys jiggling at first, like someone that had a whole grip of keys on him and was walking. You could hear the keys jiggling. So I thought, I called out, is anyone out there? And nothing, just silence. So I got on the radio and I asked, is anyone over here in inmate holding? And everyone responded, no. So I thought, okay, I'm hearing things, it's late at night, I'm punchy. So I'm just flipping through magazines again, and I could hear that sound of keys closer this time. And I turned around, and I lit up my flashlight, and I'm looking down this big gaping mouth of a room, and I'm not seeing anything. And I'm calling out again, is anyone there? Nothing. So this time the hairs on my body are all standing up, and I try to keep my cool. So I'm reading the magazine some more, but this time, you know, I'm really listening, and I could feel my heart pounding in my chest, and I felt a whoosh of air behind me as if someone walked behind me, like a whoosh. And that got my attention. That scared me so badly that I stood up and went into that side room where that inmate was fast asleep, and I yelled through the bars at him, hey, wake up, wake up. And he's like, what's going on? What's up? And I told him, frankly, just, hey, I think there's a ghost in here with us, man. Can you just wake up and keep me company? Big tough guard that I was. So he got visibly upset himself. Like, he was scared too. And so we're kind of, you know, sitting in this room together, bars between us, him an inmate, I'm a guard, and we're just trying to keep each other awake until my release got there at, you know, probably 3 a.m. or 2 a.m., I can't remember. And when my release got there, I said, hey, I think this place is haunted. And he laughed. He goes, oh, yeah, everyone knows that, newbie. I said, well, thanks for the heads up, you guys, sticking the newbie down here with the ghost. So there are more stories I have for that prison, which is now closed, but what a strange, strange place. I love your show. I'm an EPP. Keep up the good work, guys. Bye.
Thanks for being an EPP and supporting the show and sharing that that story with us.
Okay, so that's got to be really scary for you to choose the help of the inmate over, you know, whatever's going on there by your chair, because if the inmate is the less scary thing, that's not a good situation to be in.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't know. It's like a would you rather nightmare.
Yeah.
You're in a haunted prison. The ghost is coming up and trying to interact with you. Do you A, seek comfort in the inmate you're sitting next to, or interact with the ghost?
Mm-hmm.
That's, I don't think that one is in that book, but no. It could be now. Yeah, that's a good one. Thank you for sharing that with us. We do appreciate that. 855-853-4802. The phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online with your real ghost stories, or as many folks are doing now, they are recording the audio on their mobile devices and emailing it to us. You can either send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, or Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Rafaela. I'm a Brazilian living in South Korea, so let me start by apologizing for my poor English. And I have a few stories to tell you. And this one, actually, I heard from a friend of mine the other night. So what he told me was that he went out with his friends the other day, and one of the guys brought his girlfriend with him. So they were partying, and then they end up going to a karaoke place, and they're singing, they're drinking, you know, the usual. And one of the guys decided to record it, you know, because it was fun. So he recorded the whole thing as an audio file, not a video. And then they went to a bar after that. And they, you know, met some more friends. They're taking pictures and drinking some more, all the usual. And that was it. So a few days later, the guy who brought his girlfriend with him called my friend to say that he had to break up with her. And the reason why was that since that night, she started acting up weird. And he also said that the guy who recorded it sent him the file, and the whole thing was fine. Like, you could hear everything as clear as you possibly can. Like, you can hear everyone singing, everyone laughing, chatting, until it's the girl's turn to sing. Like, you could hear all of the other people singing. And then when it was the girl that started singing, the whole thing went silent. Like, you couldn't hear anything. It went completely silent, except for this weird noise during the whole 4 minutes that she was singing a song. And the noise was like, I'll try to show you how it was. It was like something like, you know, for the whole 4 minutes that this girl was singing. And also the pictures they took from the bar that they went after the karaoke, well, one of them was a selfie of this girl with one of her friends, and everything was fine, except that on her shoulder, there was this ghostly, weird-looking hand grabbing her shoulder, and I saw it. It was so disturbing. It was like this green/grayish hand with rotten fingernails, and it looked so freaky. It looked like a ghost zombie or something. And after that night, the guy said that this woman started acting weird. So what she would do is, like, she would wake up in the middle of the night and, like, start talking to someone or something, I don't know. And then she wouldn't remember later on. Or he would wake up and she would be staring at him. Or she would start walking around and not remember whatsoever. So his theory, well, he broke up with her. And his theory is that either she's being possessed, either she, I don't know, something latched onto her in that karaoke place. I don't know. Either way, he didn't want anything to do with it, so they broke up. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it, and thank you so much for your podcast. You guys are great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that's creepy.
A karaoke possession.
Karaoke possession.
Doesn't it make you wonder, though, if that had happened just a little bit sooner, what the demon would have made her sing?
In your world, it would have been Barry Manilow.
Yep.
Wait, was that what you would pick?
Huh?
If the demon had to pick a song, what would the demon sing?
Oh, I don't know. I do think Barry Manilow's horrible, so I don't know.
I got a text, actually, from my aunt earlier today in Colorado saying, tell Jen I love Barry Manilow.
Sorry.
From a comment you made the other day about Barry.
Sorry, Aunt singing. Chris. Love you.
But, yeah, that's... I couldn't really say if I felt like the thing started at the karaoke bar, if this had been something that's kind of been carrying with her for a while. I don't know. I would love to hear that audio, though, or see those pictures if she can get a hold of them.
Yeah.
That would be really creepy and weird and awesome all at the same time, so... Ask your friend. Hey, I listen to Sko Show. And, you know, we can blur out, you know, faces and all that other stuff. But I'm really curious to hear that audio. That would just be really, really awesome. So, anyhow, and then we'd play it back on the show and we'd get all these people going, I felt, you know, extremely sick when you played that. Like, okay. Which seems to be the case every time we play anything along those lines. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like this show, you like keeping it on the air, you enjoy hearing ghost stories on a regular basis, well, become an EPP. Sign up on the website. That's an extra podcast person. Get all those bonus episodes, more than 80 some of those available to you. And of course, exclusive video content. You get a new one every single week. And that's what keeps this thing going. So if you like the thing, the show, please consider helping us keeping it going. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, my name is Amber. I'm from Texas. I just recently started listening to the show and fell in love and very addicted. I had recently wrote in on a story that my grandmother had told me. I've had several experiences since I was a little girl. I work in a hospice currently. And the story I want to tell you is something that happened about a year ago. I have a CNA license, but I work in an office as a patient care coordinator. I have the CNA license because just in case someone calls in, I will be able to go out and see patients in their place if we're shorthanded. One day I was called out to a facility. It was a patient I had never seen before. I walked in the room. It was filled with the woman's family. I had told them that I was there to clean her up and that I would be out of the hair. And if they wanted to stay in the room, they could. And if they wanted to step out, that was fine too. Everyone got up and walked out of the room. I walked up to the patient and I introduced myself. I realized that she was not cognitive and non-responsive. So I proceeded to gather all the things to help her with the bed bath. I gave her a bed bath on her front side, and then I was fixing the sheets to roll her over. Once I rolled her over, she took her last breath, And as she took her last breath, I felt that she had exited her body and was standing right next to the bed. In my mind, I was like, oh shit, like what, you know, I didn't know what to do because I was in the middle of this bed bath, which I had to continue to do because the family was sitting right outside the room waiting for me to be finished. So in the middle of doing this, I laid her body back down, opened the door, asked one of the family members if they could get a nurse, or rather an RN, because she needed to be pronounced, but I did not tell the family at this moment what had just happened. I closed the door back, and then I had to proceed with the bed bath, or rather, I quit the bed bath, but I had to continue to fix the sheets and cover her body back up as if she were still alive. While doing this, I knew that she was standing right next to the bed. So I had to explain to her, please don't, you know, come after me or haunt me. This, you know, I didn't know what to say. So I basically told her that, you know, I have to continue to get your body ready. I can't just leave you naked and without clothes, and that you have to proceed with getting your gown back on and whatnot. I even had to prepare her just in case, because the body will still have bowel movements and release, you know, bodily functions. They still happen after death. So anyways, I prepared the body, and it seemed like forever. The RN was taking a long time. So after I had fixed her up, I told her that I'm sorry that I made her family leave the room, but I really think that she was wanting them to leave. Like, I've known patients to hold on until their family has left the room or left the building because they don't want them to see their last breath, basically. So anyways, finally an RN came in and she was able to pronounce the patient, and I felt very bad about this situation because I think the family wanted, you know, to be there until her very last breath, and I had interrupted them. But anyways, that is just one instance. I hope you can understand me, or could understand me, and thank you for the show. I really enjoy it. That's it. Thanks. Bye.
That's really creepy.
That is. I mean, that's a heck of a time to expire, let alone be the one giving somebody a bath when they expire, and then having to deal with the ghost of them standing right there.
Mm-hmm. Making sure, hey, did you get underneath my ears good enough? That's what I'd start, like, saying things like that.
Yeah.
Just to mess with the person. Like, hey, now scrub there a little bit better. You know, just to kind of ease the moment.
Yeah.
Because it could tell she'd be really tense and scared, but if you can kind of lighten it up with a little humor from the dead person, that would make so many things better.
Yeah, it would. And it would have been nice if somehow the message of, I don't see this as being your fault.
Sure.
Was just conveyed, not just the fear of, oh my God, this person's going to haunt me now.
Exactly. I think she's probably right. There's probably, my guess is she wanted her family to leave the room,
mm-hmm.
so that she could pass. And it's, everybody has their own way of how they want to do that. And that may have just been the excuse. It may have been the good way of doing it, rather than have everybody sit there around. And some people, that's a perfect thing. Some people, it's not. It's kind of to each their own.
Yeah.
So that's probably all it was. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do appreciate that. Michael in Texas, hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. How y'all doing today, man? This is Michael. from Dallas, Texas. Yeah, Jenny kind of flattered me a while back when I finally got to hear some of them EPPs where she said that she rat-holed all my stories for EPP sessions or whatever. Well, you know how it goes. When you're good, you're good, I reckon. Anyway, I'm trying to call you up and give you an update on that dead girl, Sarah. Well, I guess I really shouldn't have said her real name, but... Yeah, okay, that's her name, Sarah. And it's still an open case. I never have called them and told them the things that I know. But anyway, I was laying there one night in the room that I stay in. It's in an older house, probably built in the 30s or the 40s. And it's been converted, you know, there's one small apartment, which I live in. And in the back of the house is a two-story where there's another apartment, and the old lady that we rent this from was up front. Anyway, I was laying in my room one night, and I heard some knocking along the wall, the outer wall that leads, you know, I mean, on the only thing on the outside of this wall would be a small part of my little front yard, and beyond that, the street. And I guess what could pass for a sidewalk, but anyway, the knocking started towards the door and made its way slowly down the length of the room to where I was laying in the bed, and I'm trying to figure out what it was, if it was possibly an animal up under the house wagging its tail, you know, like a dog, you know, tapping on it. That's about what it sounded like anyway, but I'm sitting there listening to it. When it got closer to the bed, when it finally got to the bed, actually, the knocking was about the same loudness, really, but I could actually hear it coming through the mattress, you know, like if you lay your head on a pillow and you thump it, you know, you can hear it, right? And actually kind of feel it, what I heard, and that's what I felt. And it made its way to the wall, and then it made its way back across the wall, you know, across where the bed was, and the same thing, I could feel it and hear it, and then it made its way all the way to the back of the door. And as soon as it stopped, I jumped up and yanked the door open, and I looked out there, and there wasn't a soul out there. This was the same night when this next incident happened. I was dozing off slightly, I guess, and I heard like a jiggling noise, much like somebody, you know, the doorknob jiggling, which is what it turned out to be, I guess. But I got up and started trying to search out, you know, the sound, all right, and I finally figured out where it was coming from, because I'm kneeling down and I'm looking along my countertop where I build my guitars at, and I'm down closer, and there's this one dresser that I have that's next to the counter that I build the guitars on. And it's actually blocking off a closet door, an old closet door that I never used a closet door at all. Inside the closet, it's probably not even 2 foot by 2 foot, you know, it's just a little bitty closet. But there's an old school metal chair in there, much like the ones you used in old schools, you know, the old fold up metal cafeteria chairs. Anyway, it's one sitting there facing the door. I didn't ever want to use the chair. I didn't ever want to use the closet, so I just sealed it off with that big dresser, you know, and the mirror in front of it. And I mean, it's an old mirror and dresser anyway, but that might have something to do with it, but I doubt it. But anyway, I'm sitting there listening, and when I finally realized I'm almost face level with this doorknob. Well, I mean, I can't really see it, but the outer edge of it, because it's behind the dresser. But when I'm sitting there looking, I mean, I'm inches away from this doorknob trying to figure out what that noise was. And when I finally realized that it was the doorknob jiggling, I looked at the door edge of the doorknob and I thought, man, that's that doorknob jiggling. As soon as I said that, I heard that metal chair inside the closet slide to the side, or backwards or forwards, whichever. I heard a slide. I'm sure you know what it sounds like when you slide a little metal chair across it. And it wasn't like, you know, it was just like, you know, I could hear it move. It was almost like I surprised somebody. They were surprised that I figured out where it was running. I looked right at the doorknob or something, and it just like startled them, and they stepped back and bumped into the chair. I mean, that's almost like what it sounded like. I do have some videos also. I kept hearing noises and feeling the weird feeling, you know, of being watched. So I started filming some stuff. Didn't ever initially see anything, but then I captured, I noticed that there was some orbs in there. And I know these aren't bugs, you know. I've even downloaded the film to my computer, and I slowed it down and zoomed it up. And it actually looks like rods. I don't know if you are familiar with those, but I'm not real familiar with them myself. I've seen a few mentions of them, and I've seen a few, examples. And it's kind of like what it looked like, but I don't know if you've ever done the thing with you sticking your fingers together in front of your eyes, and it makes it look like a little weenie, you know, being suspended between your two fingers. That's kind of like what it looked like, about like that, like a little hot tamale candy or something about that shape, you know, but it was white. And there was either the same one or it was two of them, because I got two different shots of it. And slowing it down and zooming it up, you can actually see it appear. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it came flying across the screen and in turn it came towards me. It's like it appeared. You know, there's like a reflection off of a garbage bag, I believe, you know, and the reflection, it seems like it comes out of that reflection. It just appears, you know, and comes towards the camera, and I mean, it's pretty intense. I'll try to get that off to y'all if I can get some still shots of it, or if I can figure out how to get the whole video to you, let you check it out, and I'll just have to either let you look, see if you see it, or if, you know, maybe give you a timestamp, you know, so you can know where it's at. But, yeah, so far, that's some pretty interesting updates on Sarah, if that's her. Like I said, I have seen another little girl in there before, this Sarah girl, but she looks a lot different. And I even have a picture of what appears to be an old man sitting where my bed is, but it appears he's sitting in a chair looking out the window. And I'll try to get that one off to you too. But hey man, you know, great job, awesome show. Never thought that I would ever find an outlet like this. You know, it's totally awesome. Y'all guys, y'all rock, man. And have a great day, great night, and boo.
Thank you, Michael, for calling in and sharing another story with us. And yes, please do send us those photos. We'd love to see those. And we could, of course, use them in an upcoming episode of Seeing Ghosts.
You know how live people have a feel when you know who it is that's in your presence?
Sure.
I think dead people do, too. And I would imagine that's why he feels that it's that same little girl.
Mm-hmm.
He just kind of knows.
Similar presence to what he's had in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you've never met the person before or the ghost before, you know, the first time you experience that, mm-hmm. and then a little bit later you experience it again, if it's the same feeling as opposed to a different, because he was able to almost identify two different things there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same sort of deal.
That, or she could somehow be giving him a message that he doesn't realize that he's receiving a message.
Sure.
But, yeah.
These are good stories, and yeah, please do send the video or photos in. We have a new episode of Seeing Ghosts, which by the time this episode airs, should probably be out. Seeing Ghosts episode 6
okay.
is what we are up to. And a whole bunch of stuff in there. Today, as I was working on building the episode and kind of gathering up the pictures and stuff, and there's some really interesting photos in this episode if you've not seen it yet. One that stands out to me is this one where it was taken in a, was there a nursing home or a hospice care or a hospital, something of that nature, right at the time of someone passing. And there's this bizarre smokish type mist
mm-hmm.
above them. And people have talked about that before. And the writer that sent it in even did like some infrared photography on it and kind of showed the different levels of it. It's really, really weird. Really cool. That's one of the photos on there. There's Gettysburg ghost photos where you can see outlines of soldiers off in the field. Several others. One is an interesting one of, you know, some folks at home, some girls doing their hair together. And they're just kind of doing a selfie of the back of the hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the photo, when you're looking at it, there appears to be a woman standing in front of this girl there was no one there. And it's like kind of a side profile. You see the arm, you see a bit of the head, but it's kind of transparent, but it's in full color.
Oh, weird.
It's really weird. And full perspective, that, and there's even a security camera video that we have on this week's episode, or this month's episode of Seeing Ghosts, that someone submitted to us, of essentially some sort of orbish thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
In a completely dark room. I mean, it's a room where the infrared camera makes it black and white, but the room itself is dark, and it's kind of just moving around in real, no succinct path. Just okay. Kind of wherever it feels to go. Anyway, that and a lot more in Seeing Ghosts. If you're not an EPP yet, you sign up, you'll get access to that episode and all of the other Seeing Ghosts episodes that we have. Now 6 of them, and of course all the regular bonus episodes of the show as well. There's some good stuff in there. So anyway, check that out. Let's get another caller here before we wrap up today's episode. Liz, hi.
Hi, my name is Liz, and I have a lot of probably supernatural or ghost stories, but the one I want to tell you today is something that may or may not be. Anyway, it's about my son. When he was little, he had imaginary friends, and I thought it was kind of different because he had more than one of them. And the first time I ever heard about them, we were at the mall, and we went to get his hair cut, and they had a little bit of a wait, so we waited in the aisle, and there was a bench, and there weren't any other people around, and we sat on the bench, and there were about 3 benches, and he was about 3 years old, maybe almost 4, and we were sitting there, and he said, "Mommy, my friends are here." And I go, "They are?" And I'm thinking kids from daycare probably, and looked around. There weren't any people walking by, not even coming towards us. And I go, "Where are they? I don't see them." And he said, "They're right there." And he pointed to the bench behind us, and the 2 benches were like back-to-back, touching. And there was no one sitting there. And I thought, well, that's kind of funny. And I started asking him questions about him. And I don't remember all the details now because it was, 14 years ago. But I have all this written down somewhere. Unfortunately, I have no idea where it is now. But anyway, they called his name for his haircut. And we went in there and sat down. And the lady was really friendly, really good with kids. And she said, "How would you like your haircut today?" And he was looking straight in the mirror at himself, and he was kind of a fun little animated guy, and he was like, "I want my haircut like Butchie." And she goes, "Really? Is Butchie your friend?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I'd never heard that name before, and she asked him how Butchie's hair was cut, and he said it was, well, I can't remember the words he used, but he was little, but it seemed like, the kid's hair was spiked on top or whatever. Anyway, there was that, and then time went by, and I probably heard about Butchie a couple more times, but then I started hearing about Cookie a lot, and I asked him to tell me what Cookie was like, and he said, "Cookie's yellow and he shines like the sun," and Cookie was his friend, and I heard nothing but good stuff about Cookie. And another time, his sister was an infant, and I was sitting in the rocking chair, and I was feeding her bottle, and he was playing, and he always played by himself and was really content and entertained himself well. And, he was pretty imaginative, and I don't know, he played by himself happily, had no problem with it, never acted lonely, never even asked for much attention unless he really needed something. He just was really good about that. And that might be relevant. But anyway, I was holding my sister, and he walked in the room. He'd been out of the room, and he walked in, and he got a big grin on his face, kind of a smirky, nothing creepy, but, kind of a little smirk on his face, and he went, Mommy, there's someone standing right next to you. And I got goosebumps down my right arm. And I go, really, where? And he pointed right there. And I was sitting next to the sliding glass door. And he pointed to my right side, right next to me, right next to where I was sitting in the chair. And I go, really, who is it? And I don't remember the details, again, because it was so long ago, but he said it was a man with a green suit and a green hat, and he had no face. So, you know, a little, you know, maybe a year or two later when he was older, I brought up the imaginary friends again, and he remembered, and I asked him if he still saw Cookie, and he said, you know, sometimes, and I'm like, tell me about Cookie, and, you know, I can't remember the details again, but what I do remember is that Cookie was a little boy like him. He was yellow, he shone like the sun. He drew a picture of him, and he was, you know, kind of an all-yellow figure with rays of light coming from his body. And my son told me that Cookie's parents were killed in a car accident. And, that's all I can think of right now about that one. And then I asked him about the man with the green suit and hat, and if he remembered him, he said he did. And I asked him to tell me what he was like, and was he scary, and he said, no, he wasn't scary, but he couldn't talk, but he talked to him without, you know, using his mouth, because he didn't have a mouth. And he was really nice. You know, really wish I knew the details, but I don't. But, you know, none of them were bad. I never heard him talk about anything scary about any of them. They were just his friends. And then maybe a year or so later, I asked him about Cookie again, and he said, I don't see Cookie anymore. And I go, really? And, you know, I don't remember everything I said, but he teared up, and he got kind of choked up, and he was like, I miss him. And he, you know, cried over his friend and didn't know why he was gone. But he did remember the man with the green suit and hat. And those are the only two he remembers. He doesn't remember talking about Butchie, and there were others that I can't remember right now, you know, the details. But I just wondered what your thoughts were, because I think it's pretty unusual to have more than one imaginary friend, especially more than two. And I remember one time I watched the movie The Sixth Sense, and it really, really affected me because it made me think about him, except for none of it was gruesome or bad. I mean, he was happy when he talked about him, so it wasn't anything bad, really. But anyway, he also says now, oh no, they were imaginary, they weren't real, they weren't ghosts or anything like that. But, you know, I didn't press because I didn't want to make him feel funny, and I'm not convinced one way or the other, you know, if they were just imaginary or if they were ghosts. But I just thought it'd be interesting to hear what you two had to say, and if any, you know, callers had opinions, just for fun. I just wondered, and I'll probably call back again sometime. Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, I do think that there may be something more going on than just having two imaginary friends, because he seemed to kind of grieve his friend not being there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it were truly an imaginary friend, you'd have control over whether they were there or not.
Yeah.
And I kind of know what that's like. So I think maybe there might be something going on more than what he's letting on. And, you know, he might have lost the ability to see them anymore, mm-hmm. too.
That's true. I mean, and when you mean by anything more, you mean that it was, in fact, a ghost, not an imaginary friend.
Yeah.
I mean, imaginary friend, but a friend, just not imaginary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I agree. It's, I don't want to say unfortunately, but in reality, is all too common.
It is.
Where we have these sort of things happen, and I guess the good thing is a lot of kids don't really realize it's anything ghostly. Mm-hmm. So it's not a scary thing. It's just, here it is, and eventually, you know, it goes away. They grow out of it. But the realization of, huh, that might have been a ghost doesn't really happen until they're more, you know, older and able to handle it better,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that's kind of a good thing. But nonetheless, thank you for sharing that story. That was a good one. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. If you like the show, as you say, please help us stay on the air by becoming an EPP. $5 a month is all it costs. You get all, of course, the free episodes, but all the bonus episodes as well. All 80, some of those you get access to. Brand new ones every single week. Of course, exclusive video content, seeing ghosts, and a whole lot more. So check it out. Go to Real Ghost Stories Online and click Become an EPP. That's what helps keep us going. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. Click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.